Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday afternoon. Closing the achievement gap is the civil rights movement of the 21st century, and we have to be deliberate and serious about this work. Our guest this hour led a statewide task force on the issue in 2014. He has many jobs now. Dr. Damon Means is superintendent of the Mequon-Thiensville School District, graduate of Milwaukee Public Schools, and now also commissioner of Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program, the Milwaukee Turnaround District, mandated by the state legislature to improve Milwaukee's most poorly performing schools. Why is the achievement gap so significant, and what are Dr. Means' plans for turning around the schools in Milwaukee public school system that aren't performing very well? We're delighted to have him as a guest this hour. He's been with us before to talk about state funding for schools and the importance of public education. Our phone number for you to join this conversation, as always, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's @KDunnShow. Dr. Means, a pleasure to have you on the air again, sir. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, our pleasure. Well, you have a lot of jobs now. How are you going to do all of this?
Well, it's a true honor and privilege to serve in this role as commissioner. But my focus and my day job is continuing to serve my fellow taxpayers and community members in the Mequon-Thiensville School District. I moved my family to the community recently, and really adore working with great educators here at Mequon-Thiensville. But at the same time, I've always made the statement: as Milwaukee goes, so goes Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I have a history of providing service to the city of Milwaukee in a lot of different capacities, be it on the Milwaukee Public Museum Board that I currently serve on, or I used to serve on the Milwaukee Rescue Mission Board, serving on the Social Development Commission Board. There's something that I think we all have an obligation to serve our most needy citizens in our state, and Milwaukee clearly is a place where we need to serve.
Mm-hmm. And as if you have been quoted, no matter where life takes me, you are at the core a Milwaukee native.
I am indeed. I am. My mom and dad are Milwaukee natives, it's a place that's near and dear to my heart, wherever life will take me.
Mm-hmm. Closing the achievement gap, you've said, is the civil rights movement of the 21st century. We have to be deliberate and serious about this work. And when you look at where Wisconsin fares compared with other states, it is a really sad situation, Dr. Means.
It's by any measure, it's the worst in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the co-authors of the legislation to create the Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program were motivated to do something to assist from a legislative standpoint. And I truly believe that the co-authors, and I've had a chance to talk with both of them, they legitimately are coming from a place of wanting to help and assist the children of Milwaukee achieve their dreams through an enhanced educational journey. And so, yes, I back to your original question, our achievement gaps, no matter what you look at in terms of graduation rates, our performance on the National Assessment of Educational Progress assessments, any measure you look at, our kids in the city of Milwaukee are performing among the worst in the country, and so something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do?
So I guess the first step that I'm going to engage in around this role of commissioner, I'm going to try to learn as much as I can about the Milwaukee Public Schools system. I think we all make a gross mistake that we assume we know what Milwaukee Public Schools is about and what they're doing, but I'm going to be very deliberate and first to I'm going to seek to understand and to understand the system. I think that there are great educators working in Milwaukee Public Schools right now. I know that the board of directors are focused on a strategic path to enhance and improve the system. So my focus right now is to learn the system. The second thing that I'm focusing on is to really work with community members and stakeholders on how we can really do something new and different with our wraparound services in Milwaukee. I think there's some opportunities for us to create what many have referenced as community schools, where there are services that go well beyond the academic realm. They go into health and mental health and dental health areas in terms of providing those services in the schools. The last thing that I would want to work on, and County Executive Abley and I are aligned with this, we really want to look at how can we provide high-level early childhood educational opportunities for the children in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my first three objectives as we look at the first 100 days of my role as commissioner.
Mm-hmm. And would that be new, this emphasis on earlier childhood education, four-year-old kindergarten across the board, that kind of thing?
Well, I think we want to look at it differently, and I don't know if it's going to be necessarily 4K. It may be something even earlier than 4K. It may be some type of option and system that is going to engage families as the child is in the process of being birthed and is still prenatal care. We want to try to tackle this differently. The feedback that I've received from community members from across the state has been, we're very pleased that you've been appointed. We are we're optimistic that you can do something. But by the way, something needs to be done, that we can't continue to accept business as usual. And so I know that County Executive Abley and I have we have focused on making sure that we do something that's going to impact children right away, and that, because we just don't have time to let this mature and grow. We need to help our kids who are in a very tough spot address things right now academically.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Means, we have had so many people on the show, and I'm sure you're aware of this, and you went through MPS, and you've lived in the city of Milwaukee, and I have familiarity with all of that as well. When you look at the problems, particularly in major city school systems, the number one problem is poverty. Poverty, you have violence, you have families that are struggling, you have segregated schools. You have so many problems that are related to people not being able to make a living. Can you tackle that as commissioner of the schools or not?
Well, I think we're going to try. We have to try. It's interesting that you bring that up, Kathleen. While serving on the Social Development Commission board, Dr. Gary Williams of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and I co-chaired a task force, and ironically, we'll be submitting our final report to the president of SDC, CEO and president George Hinton, but we'll be submitting a report on youth in poverty in Milwaukee and what are some strategies we can utilize in the area of combating poverty for young people in Milwaukee. And I think a lot of those recommendations, ironically, will be something that I can go out and work with the community to try to implement as commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So a very succinct answer is yes. I think that's the uniqueness of this legislation. I have some latitude where we can bring in some services, some wraparound services that will not only help young people with life, but in particular with their academic pursuits.
You talk about, we started by talking about the achievement gap. I know you led a statewide task force on the issue of the achievement gap in the state of Wisconsin in 2014. What were your recommendations that you would like to share and that were particularly important?
Well, you know, you're speaking of the Promoting Excellence for All task force, and we had a task force of educators from all across the state come together to look at our issues in the state of Wisconsin. There are four focus areas that, again, as the commissioner, I'll be able to utilize and hone in on. The first is effective instruction and making sure that we have effective instruction occurring in every classroom across our state, regardless of the sector, regardless if it's public schools, charter schools, or voucher schools. The second is student-teacher relationships, ensuring that you have positive student-teacher relationships. The research shows that when students believe that their teachers are connected to them and want the best for them, students perform better. Family and community engagement is another area that we focused on with our Promoting Excellence for All task force. And we know that when families and communities are engaged around the educational process, great things occur for children. And then finally, school and instructional leadership. It's imperative that we have school leaders and instructional leaders, teacher leaders, who are focused on positive leadership, and that they're willing to be a positive change agent for children. Again, I'll be able to take those lessons and those focal points from our Promoting Excellence for All task force and utilize them as commissioner.
So you're working with two very, very different school districts, the very high-performing Mequon-Thiensville School District, and there are many schools in MPS that are high-performing as well, but there are others that are not performing at all very well. So is there something that you can take from your experience with a high-performing district that would translate in some way to a lower-performing district?
Sure. I think that's one of the opportunities and advantages that I have in this role. The families in Milwaukee are no different than the families in the Mequon-Thiensville School District. They have high expectations for their children. They have high expectations for their school system. How we execute will be very, very important. And what we're going to do is we're going to apply the same level of expectations that we have here in the Mequon-Thiensville School District in the work that I do and will be assisting Milwaukee Public Schools with in terms of turning around the schools that are in the deepest need. And so the issue and the concept of community schools, we have community schools here in Mequon-Thiensville. Those concepts we can truly take over into our opportunity schools and partnership program and enhance the type of educational opportunity that kids are exposed to in Milwaukee.
How many schools in MPS need to be turned around and why?
Well, the Department of Public Instruction has identified a number of schools based on the 2013-2014 report card system. I think if you talk to an informed person, they would say there are a lot of schools that need to be turned around or assisted and enhanced in Milwaukee Public Schools, but there's a handful of schools per the Department of Public Instruction that does qualify for this program.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways this was presented when it was first presented and passed by the legislature was that those turnaround schools would become charter schools, would become private voucher schools. Where does that fit in the mix now?
Well, you know, I think that's a unique twist on it. I think initially the way that the law was written, that possibly the commissioner would be more of an authorizer versus an operator of the schools. And I think that the co-authors of the bill, their objective and their focus is to make sure that there are good schools and that there's turnaround. And frankly, however we get to that end point, they just want to see results. And so, as a sitting superintendent, as someone who understands the operations of a strong school system and strong schools, I'm very interested in rolling my sleeves up and working alongside the leadership in Milwaukee Public Schools to turn around as many schools as possible. Per the legislation, up to three schools can be identified for the 2015-16 school year, and then again in the 16-17 school year.
Mm-hmm. And those schools could become private voucher schools or charter schools, or maybe not, or?
Well, it's an opportunity. So per the statute, there is, you can either have those schools, there's an RFP process that could be initiated, and the RFP process would obviously allow charter and voucher schools to engage in the opportunity to operate the schools.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about
that's why I use the language. I think initially when you read the language, it's more the commissioner role in the opportunity schools and partnership program was structured more in the vein of the commissioner serves as an authorizer of someone running the schools versus being the operator him or herself.
I see. Let's talk about segregation for a moment. I know you were a proponent of Chapter 220 and were upset when it went away. Can you have, in Milwaukee area has the reputation in the country also as being one of the most segregated areas in the whole country. It's a very segregated school system. Can you have schools operating top-notch if they are as segregated as MPS is?
I think you can. I think, you know, the demographics of a school should not be the barrier or the challenge to excellence within that said school. And so I think there are opportunities for us to have schools with the demographics that we have in front of us in Milwaukee and still achieve great things academically.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Dr. Damon Means is our guest this hour. He was appointed by County Executive Chris Abley to be the commissioner of the Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program. It's the Milwaukee Turnaround District, mandated by the state legislature recently to improve Milwaukee's most poorly performing schools. He is also superintendent of the Mequon-Thiensville School District. He's a graduate of Milwaukee Public Schools, a graduate high school from Riverside University High School. Grew up in Sherman Park. Those of you in Milwaukee will be familiar with that area. And his appointment was maybe a surprise to some because of his strong commitment to public schools, but it's been highly praised by many on both sides of the political aisle because of the work that he has done. Here is our phone number. The question of the hour is how to improve Milwaukee's most poorly performing schools. What are the answers? Why is the achievement gap the largest in the country? What is to be done about that? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and we have lines open for you right now. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We like to read your comments there. And we're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's welcome many phone calls coming in for Dr. Means, and we start with Jerry in La Crosse. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, thank
Hi.
You.
Sure.
I certainly wish you every possible luck, and I'm very much in favor of putting great emphasis into helping the young people in Milwaukee, you know, reach their dreams. I'm only worried about one thing, and I think we often emphasize how schools are failing or how we wish schools were doing better, and we may be missing the major point, I think, is whether the families are failing the children. You know, how much of this failure problem is due to the school and how much is due to the family? I know hospitals are graded according to the population they serve. They serve a population that, you know, is not ordinarily taking very good care of itself. The hospital is not penalized so much. I wonder if schools should be looked at in a similar way.
Thank you, Jerry.
Kathleen, I think Jerry's raising a good point, mm-hmm. and so I want to be very deliberate in saying that part of our work with the Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program will be to look at wraparound services that not only serve the children of the community, but also will serve the families and help them become even stronger family units. So I think Jerry is on to a very good point, and I agree with him.
And what does that mean, coordinating services that are already in existence, or is there a big gap in service?
So I guess the quick answer would be yes. You know, it's coordinating services that are already happening, but also trying to marshal new resources and provide new opportunities to serve our families. That's what my focus will be on, to enhance what we're currently doing to make sure that it's effectively implemented, the wraparound services, and that we can then replicate and take those services to across the city and help many families.
Jerry, thanks for your call. We go next to Angela in Milwaukee. Hi, Angela.
Hi. My question for Mr. Means is if he plans on being not just an authorizer but an operator of up to 3 public schools this year and 5 every year thereafter, how does he plan on having the time to do that, being one man when he's already the superintendent of Mequon Beansville School District? And also, if, as he mentioned, this is open to private voucher schools and charter schools, whatever the opportunities may be, wouldn't that affect the financial health of MPS in general? If he could answer that, and I'll take my answers offline, please.
Thanks, Angela.
Sure. Thank you, Angela, for the call. I think building the team of people who will assist and consult with Milwaukee Public School leaders is my focus. Again, I want to differentiate the language. And Kathleen, you asked this question. It was a good question. The language kind of leans toward the commissioner being an authorizer of either a charter school system or a voucher school system. I've been very clear in stating that I do not have any intention to take any schools away from Milwaukee Public Schools, which, to Angela's point, would hurt the school system financially. And so that means that we would have to, with the cooperation of Milwaukee Public Schools, find some schools that we can collaborate around and identify as needing our assistance. And so I'm looking forward to that opportunity of identifying possible schools and working in conjunction with Milwaukee Public Schools.
Mm-hmm. So how is one guy going to do all of this?
Well, I don't think it's one person. You know, it will never be one person. I think it's going to be a team of people, and it's going to take a lot of different stakeholders to be involved in this process. I will obviously be coordinating this work, but as everyone's indicated, I have a day job, and that day job is in the Mequon-Thiensville School District. But I do have the capacity to help and assist and coordinate efforts in the Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program.
Did you have second thoughts about taking this, or did you immediately jump in, Dr. Means?
No, I had to think about it long and hard before actually saying yes. It's a daunting
right.
challenge to do this job, but people who know me will attest to the fact that I enjoy challenges, and when you couple that with the fact that it's my home school district, I had to take some time to think about how do you balance it.
Right.
Angela referenced that I'm going to, most of my evenings and weekends and all my time away from the Mequon-Thiensville School District will probably be consumed by this effort,
mm-hmm.
Where in the past I had other opportunities to serve our school, our overall community. I won't be able to do those things anymore. So my service on certain boards, and I've done some consulting in the past, and I've taught courses for Concordia University and Colonel Stritch University. Those things will have to go by the wayside to allow me to do this work.
Mm-hmm. John in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. This sort of makes me think of the Huey Long program in Louisiana in the early 30s, where they had openings. They opened the schools in the evening for illiterates to go to school, and they reduced illiteracy in 5 years, 10%. But if they did the same in Milwaukee area for people that barely got through high school or flunked out, that they could go to even be paid to go to high schools to learn reading, learn how to read literature, read and write and arithmetic well, do all those well, that they would get a reward, economic reward for doing that. And it would be from there they could go on to other things, but until they get those under their belt, sometimes it's hard to go anywhere when you can't read, write, and do arithmetic well.
Yes. Yes. I think, you know, part of our focus on developing wraparound services will be to strengthen the core academic skills that young people will need to just be successful in life. But I think the special opportunity that's in front of us is that if we do the wraparound service as well, we can also address the needs of the families, which, again, I've painstakingly found out with my work with the Social Development Commission is a prime challenge for families who are living in poverty.
Mm-hmm. The last time we spoke with you, we were talking about saving our schools, our public schools in the state of Wisconsin, and you and the other people on the panel were lamenting the amount of money that had been cut from public education and how programs were being cut, et cetera. It seems as though I'm experiencing a disconnect here because you're talking about increasing services for Milwaukee Public Schools, which obviously would cost some money, and yet we're in this environment when, where schools are suffering from less money coming to their districts.
Well, I think the disconnect is that the legislature will not be providing those services. I will have to go to the philanthropic community across the state of Wisconsin, but in particular Milwaukee, to see if there's an opportunity to raise money for these services. If there are organizations who are willing to provide these services as in-kind gifts. And so I think when we last spoke, Kathleen, we were talking about just the general funding for public schools and how do we sustain the excellence that we do have across the state in terms of public education. How do we sustain that through reasonable increases of the revenue cap through the funding formula? I think this is a very different conversation, and the conversation is one of how do you generate funds for this effort. I think there are organizations and foundations who want to help Milwaukee, and part of my role as commissioner will be to marshal those resources and to direct it in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Joanne is next. Thanks, John, for your call. Joanne in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen, and hello, Dr. Mean.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
My question is, what do you want parents to do in this whole effort? You talk about administrators and teachers and stakeholders. What about parents? What can we do?
Well, that's a great question, Joanne. I think what parents can do is to continue to support your public schools. Let's start there first and foremost. I come from a perspective that I think parents are already doing the work that they need to by getting their kids to school. It's a challenge for families just to get kids out of the door into school, and so I want to commend our families for doing that first and foremost. There will be an opportunity and time for us to engage and to rally around the support of our schools. And I can't say this enough. I firmly believe that what the work that's happening in Milwaukee Public Schools is good work. It's just that we need to take it to scale now. And so I view the role of commissioner to be someone who's going to support the work that's happening in Milwaukee. But to go back to Joanne's question, parents can continue to support their public schools. And the very simple first level of support that we can have from parents is just to say positive things about your public schools. I think we diminish our public schools when parents get together and there are negative things that are shared about our public schools. We have to uplift the schools. We have to be positive about our schools, and so I would just ask that parents work in partnership with your schools.
And there are other things too. Make sure that you do everything that you can to show up for parent-teacher conferences. I know that that's a problem in some MPS schools. And make sure that you do everything you can so that your students will show up for school, because that's a huge thing to be there.
Well, you know, that's what I said on the front end, Kathleen. I think I'm making the assumption that families are getting their kids to school. And so that in itself is an accomplishment. I can speak to the fact that I have a 3.5-year-old, and that is a challenge. I'm the one that have to get her ready and get to school. And
right.
That's hard work. I just have the one. I can't imagine multiple young people. I think it's the front end and the back end. If you get them to school, we appreciate it. On the back end, if nothing else, if you just emphasize the fact that there's work to be done, homework to be done when children get to back home, if you can do nothing, if you don't do anything else but establish an environment where academic pursuits is the focal point of the household, that's enough in my world. I don't subscribe to the theory that every family must be at teacher-parent conference. For some families, they can't get the teacher-parent conference. That's not an indication if a family is engaged or not. There are families who may have to call in and say, I can't make it to teacher-parent conference, but can we email each other? Can we text one another? Can we have a phone conference? I think engagement looks a lot. It looks different for every family. All we would ask is that you stay engaged. And I think there's three prongs to it. One is to get your child to school. The second is to establish an academic environment once they come home from school. And the third is to stay in contact with the school, be it through the formal teacher-parent conference structure or through email, phone calls, text messaging, handwritten letters. I don't know what it is, but to stay in contact somehow, some way.
Thanks, Joanne, so much for your call. And Marty in Kenosha, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to posit that the main reason is that there's a lack of parental influence, whether it's from a single-parent family, whether it's both of the parents have to work and whatnot. So what, long story short, it boils down to the teacher having to be the one to bring up the child. And this is a broad spectrum, you know, what is the teacher going to instill in them as far as values and whatnot? That's a whole other topic, but why not pay the teachers at least 50% more and realize the fact that they are the ones, in essence, that are bringing up these children. And in the long run, it's going to benefit society on the whole.
Well, good luck with that in the climate that we're living in right now.
Can we think past our nose for once?
So Marty, that's an interesting comment that you made. Here in the Mequon-Thiensville School District, the school district that I serve as superintendent of schools, we created a strategic compensation system that's based on outputs, based on the teacher's influence on student achievement versus teacher inputs, such as years of experience and educational attainment. And as a result, we've been able to provide financial increases to staff members who can demonstrate those outputs in the classroom. I think the environment that we have today, there's opportunity for school districts to create similar programs where you're honoring the hard work from an output standpoint versus an input standpoint.
And what's the output?
Well, the output is student results. It's student performance on standardized tests. It's student performance on student learning outcomes, or what we call in the profession SLOs. When you can demonstrate that you've moved students academically or from a social-emotional standpoint, those are what we define as outputs.
What do you think of that, Marty?
It just brings to mind that, you know, everything seems to be based on tests nowadays, and we need to, you know, tests aren't everything, and we need to be broader minded based. Everything isn't a test score, and because test scores seem to dictate monetary inflow to schools, and if the numbers aren't there, well, then, you know, the funds get shut down, and it seems to be a narrow focus.
And Marty, that's why I want to be cautious. Not only is it assessment scores, but there's also something in our profession called student learning outcomes. And so a teacher can look at where the largest achievement gap is within a group of students that they're serving, and they can create student learning outcomes that are not necessarily based on an assessment, but it's based on some type of measurement point where you know where students are performing now and where do you want them to be at the end of a certain time period. And if you can demonstrate growth, we recognize it through our strategic compensation system.
Thanks, Marty, for the call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. We're speaking with Dr. Damon Means this hour, superintendent of the Mequon-Thiensville School District, but he is now also the commissioner of Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program. It's the Milwaukee Turnaround District you read so much about recently. It's mandated by the state legislature to improve those schools in the MPS system that are performing most poorly. And Dr. Means is the commissioner of that effort right now. And so we're talking about what that job will mean, why schools, which schools are performing poorly, why they are, how badly they are performing, and how to turn them around. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dr. Damon Means, superintendent of the Mequon-Thiensville School District, graduate of Milwaukee Public Schools, now commissioner of Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program, is our guest. And our next caller is Tim in Ladysmith. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It seems that for as long as I can remember, the Milwaukee School District have been just bottom of the barrel. I've heard this for years and years and years, and one of your callers just called in and said, well, what can parents do to help out? And not trying to be sarcastic or cynical, but your guest said that, well, parents are doing everything they need to do, but yet these schools are failing for, obviously, we have dysfunctional families and a dysfunctional school. So something has to be done other than what's been happening in these schools, because this business as usual is not going to solve this problem. So I'm not exactly sure. That doesn't seem to add up to me. If parents are doing everything they need to do and just getting kids to school is going to solve the problem, there's just something I'm missing here in that equation. So,
well, I don't think the vast majority of MPS schools, Tim, are failing. You know,
well, I've heard for years, it seems like it's like a foreign country. The Milwaukee School District has constantly been the worst schools in Wisconsin.
Maybe. Well, all our kids went to MPS schools, and I must tell you, they were terrific schools they went to.
Well, then why do we constantly hear that Milwaukee schools are so bad? I mean, that's what.
So, if I may jump in, I think Kim, thank you for the comment. I just want to make sure that I was heard correctly. The question from Joanne was, "What can parents do?" And what I emphasized was the first thing you can do is continue to do what you're doing, which is getting your students to school. Now, if you're a parent that's not getting your students to school, then that's the first thing you need to do. The second is to make sure that you establish a strong academic environment once they come home and focus on academics. And the third is to stay connected with your schools. I would agree with Kathleen. I think that's this negative narrative of Milwaukee Public Schools needs to be broken down.
Right.
All the schools are not failing in Milwaukee Public Schools. There are amazing nationally recognized schools that are operating very efficiently within that school system. I think Milwaukee as a city is very unique to the state of Wisconsin. It is a large metropolitan area that has high levels of poverty. And so I don't care what sector you're in, be it policing or firefighting or educating through public schools, it looks different than it will look like in Ladysmith, for example. The policing, for example, looks different in Milwaukee than it does in Ladysmith. Providing educational opportunities to children in Milwaukee will look different than it does in Ladysmith. And so what we will have to do is really a couple of things, and that's why I said at the onset of the show, the first thing I want to do is to seek to understand the system, because so often people assume they know what's happening in Milwaukee. I'm not going to make that assumption. I want to learn the system, and I think collectively we can all learn as a state that the problems and the challenges that Milwaukee Public Schools are facing is unique to only a handful of school districts in this state. I would put Racine and Kenosha and Madison and Beloit and Green Bay in those categories. Other than those school districts, I don't think there are school districts that share the same challenges as Milwaukee Public Schools. But I would have to agree with the host. I think so often we make this assumption that the entire system is failing in Milwaukee, and that's just not accurate.
Yeah, I mean, to classify it as bottom of the barrel does a real disservice to all the wonderful teachers and all the wonderful schools in MPS. And as somebody who's quite familiar with the whole system, I want to be true to our schools, you know.
Right.
Yeah, let's go to Rose in Menominee Falls. Hi, Rose.
Hello there. Hi, Demond.
Hi, Rose.
Rose.
Well, it's Tulsa, right?
Many years ago.
Yes.
Having spent my entire career as a school social worker and making connections between home, school, and community. I have to say that's exactly, all three of those components have to be integrally involved. And the example I could give, and this is where I would disagree with you a little bit, DeMond. Many years ago, a kindergarten child from the city was referred to me because the teacher thought that the boy was academically challenged, or she didn't know if he was cognitively disabled because he did not show anything in the school, in the classroom. And a couple weeks after that, I was at a meeting with parents and their children, and this little boy and his mother happened to be there. And this little boy, who I did not connect at the time, was the same one the teacher had referred to me, was a shining star in that meeting. And when I went up to them after the meeting and introduced myself, I couldn't believe it was the same child the teacher had described to me. What I took away from that, because it wasn't the only time that happened, but quite often, if not most often, especially when children are unsure about their place in the school system, when they see that parent in that school, it makes a world of difference to them. Now, I'm not saying that every parent has to go to every parent-teacher conference, and the school has to reach out and make it welcoming for mm-hmm. parents to be there.
Dr. Means.
Yeah, my dear friend Rose is absolutely correct. She was an amazing social worker and did good work. I want to be very clear. I'm very sensitive to the poverty and the issues that our families face in Milwaukee. And so for every family, they can't be at teacher-parent conferences. My father, for example, he was a school engineer in Milwaukee Public Schools for decades. And in many years, he worked second shift. So he wasn't able to come to teacher-parent conference because he wasn't interested. He needed to put food on the table for his family. And so I think so often we judge families when they're not engaged in traditional ways that families are engaged around schools. I don't want to fall into that category of judging. I'm very sensitive, too, and I hope your listeners are picking up on this, Kathleen, that I'm going to seek to understand the system first before making any assumptions. I think if there's anything that I can emphasize before our time is up is that so often we make assumptions about
yes.
this system called
right.
Milwaukee Public Schools, and we need to just all step back and not make those assumptions. And if we're going to make any assumptions, let's make these assumptions. Let's make the assumption that every educator who goes to work every day, they're committed to doing the very best they can do in Milwaukee Public Schools and across our state.
Yes.
And that every family that gets their kids up and they get them to school, they have done an amazing job to get those children prepared and at least in the seat. And so if we're going to make any assumptions, let's make assumptions on the positive, not the negative.
Hear ye, hear ye. Rose, thanks for the call. Mary Sue, West Bend. Hi. Mary Sue? Are you there, Mary Sue? Call us back. Virginia in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello. I wanted to compliment Dr. Means. Everything that you're saying just is rings very true and is so positive and affirming. I know that the school system has problems, but I think your assumptions are appreciated in what could be a challenging position to be in. I wondered about your thoughts about the future of the program long term.
Sure, that's a really good question, and candidly, Virginia, no one's actually asked me that question in all of these interview opportunities. I think the future of the program is something that we should all collectively want to see work and be positive. I know the co-authors of this bill, they are coming from a perspective of they want to see positive results for the children in Milwaukee. I know County Executive Abley wants to see something dramatically positive and something new for the children in Milwaukee. I know leaders within Milwaukee Public Schools want to see something new. So this is the first time in my 20-plus years as an educational leader that I've seen bipartisan support around and rallying around Milwaukee Public Schools. I know that the governor's office and State Department leaders are trying to marshal resources to redirect them to Milwaukee. It's the first time that I've seen this type of rallying around the children of Milwaukee. And so the future of this program, I think, is very optimistic, but it is going to be key that we get positive results. And we're going to, and I think that's the pressure that I've put myself under, is going to be imperative that we get some wins and that we start showing change in operations quickly for that type of positive momentum to continue.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, that begs the question. Milwaukee Public Schools have been having problems because of poverty and violence for a long time. Why rally around MPS now?
Well, I think it's because, well, you know, sometimes you have to bottom out before things can get better. And I think the statistics and the information that has continued to dribble out over the last few years has put a spotlight on the problems. I think the state report cards that were created through the Department of Public Instruction through the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind has emphasized the issue as well. So I think it's all in the forefront of everyone's minds now, and again, I think there's a true bipartisan effort to try to help the kids in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. If we could focus in on just one more of the statistics that are so alarming, the achievement gap, the overall graduation rate, this is Wisconsin's graduation rates between minority students and white students, 2013-14 school year, the most recent that we have. The gap is the largest, again, in the country. I don't understand why all of this is in Wisconsin. White students, 92.9% graduation, and African American students, 66.1%. Why such a big gap? Why so persistent? And why here?
Well, I don't know why here. Let me start there. I don't know why our children of color, and I think when you look at these statistics, that's the benchmark point. I don't know why our children of color are performing so poorly. What I can say in the positive is that majority students are. Our majority students in the state of Wisconsin are performing at high levels. And so when you see that gap, part of the gap is because, as you referenced, over 90% of majority students in the state of Wisconsin are graduating from high school. And so I think you always have to – I like to look at the glass half full. And when you look at the glass being half full, we should be proud of the fact that we have set a standard for academic excellence for our children in Wisconsin. Now the work begins in terms of identifying our students of color, our Hmong students, our Latino students, and obviously African-American students. When you look at the statistics, those students are performing well below majority students, and that's just statistical fact.
Mary Sue in West Bend, I think she's back. Are you, Mary Sue?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I was wondering if you've heard about the program called Schools That Can.
I have heard of Schools That Can. Former colleague of mine, Dr. Bill Hughes, is part of that group, and I have heard of their outfit.
They apparently have achieved enormous success in turning around several schools. I know of six of them. The Carmen High School of Science and Technology is one of them, Milwaukee College Prep. And they have a wonderful website and many, many individual donors and foundations that have helped to sponsor the programs that have been very innovative in these schools. And it sounds like they have somehow hit on a successful way to approach the various problems that troubled schools have.
We have about 30 seconds, Dr. Means.
I think that Schools That Can is just one of many stakeholders in the educational landscape that's doing good work, and I hope to work with them as we move forward in this venture.
Well, you're going to be one heck of a busy man, not that you weren't already. All the best to you, Dr. Means.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen. I think, you know, again, my focus and day job is obviously in the Mequon-Thiensville School District and to keep us performing high, but I felt there was a moral imperative, and it was a responsibility of mine to step up when this opportunity came. I could not leave the children behind from the city that I call home.
Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Damon Means, he is now the commissioner, well, he's got two jobs, Commissioner of Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program, the Milwaukee Turnaround District, and Superintendent of the Mequon-Thiensville School District. He's a graduate of Milwaukee Public Schools, and we thank him for his time. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this interesting hour, and to Chris Molina for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. News is coming up from National Public Radio. Why do so many young people have guns in the streets of Milwaukee? We'll talk about it hour two.